The casks of spent fuel are here, and they will be for a while. And as we've heard, they're very expensive to maintain. But are they safe?
The physical and chemical form of this waste is very, very stable. It is contained within casks, and I keep referring to as dry casks, which are extremely robust. They can last for decades with minimal maintenance. So I think it's a safe waste form. It's very unfortunate we have failed as a nation to sort of find, so far at least, to find a site for a centralized repository where all these dry casks could go. But it certainly wouldn't keep me awake up at night to know that in my town I have these dry casks.
That's Jacopo Bongiorno. He's a professor and the associate department head at MIT's Nuclear Science and Engineering Department. We called him up to better understand the current state of nuclear in our energy mix, with Seabrook Nuclear Power Plant operating in New Hampshire and Millstone Nuclear Power Plant still operating in Connecticut, and what the future will look like with Vermont Yankee recently closed and Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station in Massachusetts slated to shut down later this year. Jacopo Bongiorno, welcome to Next.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe you can start by breaking down the role that nuclear energy currently plays in New England's overall energy makeup.
Well, let me start by zooming out and actually telling you what the role of nuclear is for the U.S. as a whole. It currently provides about 20% of our electricity mix and over 50% of our zero carbon or low carbon electricity. So the role of nuclear is already big. In the New England region, is similar to the national situation. The nuclear power plants that you mentioned in your brief introduction are generally struggling in the U.S. because of competitive pressure from alternative energy sources, in particular natural gas, which is very cheap. But nuclear has a role to play, as I said a minute ago, already plays an important role. And so there is an incentive in trying to maintain operation of these nuclear power plants.
How are states looking at nuclear as a renewable source?
So nuclear doesn't qualify, I guess, as a renewable source in the same way than solar and wind do. However, when nuclear power plants shut down, we've had an example in New England with Vermont Yankee, the carbon emissions for those states typically go up, not to mention the fact that a lot of jobs of people working at these plants are lost. So based on analysis that we did at MIT as part of a study that lasted about 2.5 years on the present and future prospects of nuclear energy, we find that continuing the operation of nuclear power plants is actually the lowest cost approach to avoiding an increase in emissions.
So what you're saying is that even if nuclear power isn't considered a quote-unquote renewable energy source like wind or solar would be, that when a nuclear plant goes away, a state's overall emissions will then go up.
That's absolutely correct. And while it is not defined as renewable, it is essentially a zero-carbon energy source. And what is perhaps even more important, it's a dispatchable energy source. In other words, you can generate electricity when you need it. And that's important based on all analysis and modeling that people, including our team, have done when you're trying to fill the gaps created by the intermittency or variability, if you wish, of solar and wind. So bottom line, we think that it's a combination of solar, wind, and nuclear that will actually give the most effective and lowest cost path towards decarbonization of our energy sector. But I want to say the debate about whether nuclear is renewable or not, I find it not particularly satisfactory. Mm-hmm. The objective here is to decarbonize our energy sector. And we should not sort of get stuck on definitions or names. What's important, what again, all our sort of scholarly work suggests is that what's important is to have a generation mix of both variable, solar and wind, as well as dispatchable or firm or controllable energy sources such as nuclear that drive down the emissions in the power sector.
In Vernon, Vermont, where Vermont Yankee has produced power for so many years, there's a question of what will happen to that community after the power plant is completely shut down and decommissioned. Howard Weiss-Tisman from VPR spoke with former Vernon State Representative Patty O'Donnell.
You know, when you wake up one day and your whole world has changed, it's an adjustment. It takes a little while to try to figure out what direction you're going to go. And we're on our way to a new future. We don't have the anger and frustration that we had in the very beginning. And we've done it. We're surviving. So, I think that's a big thing for the town of Vernon. And I'm very proud of the people in this town.
Professor, this is so interesting because the places where this energy is made These power plants have provided an awful lot of jobs, and now you're going to have something there that won't be used for what it's been used for. It won't provide the economic benefit, and people feel, in many cases, like in this town, that they've kind of been left behind. What is your feeling, what's your thought about what we do with the communities where nuclear power plants have closed?
Well, this is the other aspect that we uncovered earlier in the interview, is what is the impact of shutting down these plants, not only on the energy mix, and we talk about carbon emissions and so on, but a very real impact on the local communities that have relied for decades on these plants to provide, as you said, jobs and taxes and all of that. I'm not a politician. I can't really comment on what to do to help these communities, but for sure it's a big blow. I'm really glad to hear the representative from Vernon saying that they think they've gotten over it and they have a plan for ensuring that there is economic development in that region. The value of these plants is broad, and the economic value is certainly important.
With Seabrook Nuclear Plant in New Hampshire, Millstone Nuclear Power Station in Connecticut, set to be the only nuclear power stations in our entire region. What do we as ratepayers in this region do to subsidize them, to make sure that they're still running? Because if, as you said earlier, there is this pressure from natural gas, if there's this pressure from renewables and a desire to move more of our energy mix toward truly renewable sources of energy, what do you do to make sure these power plants continue to operate?
Generally speaking, effectively a small subsidy, which in places like New Jersey, New York, and Illinois has been called a zero emission credit of between $10 and $15 per megawatt hour, is sufficient to ensure that these plants are profitable and they can continue to operate. This figure that I just gave you, say between $10 and $17 per megawatt hour, is actually a small price to pay if compared to the rate hike that one would experience by shutting down nuclear power plants and replacing them with a mix for a fixed amount of carbon emissions. So that's a fairly straightforward calculation, and it shows that the extension of these nuclear plants is cost-effective.
Professor, before I let you go, I want to talk about the future of nuclear power. It's something that you study very closely, and I think with all of the parts of our energy mix, there's always this question and this fear that the more that we invest in the technology of today or even of the last couple decades in order to make sure that we have safe, reliable power for some time to come, we may be not investing in a new type of technology that in 5 or 10 years might provide safer, cleaner, more efficient energy. So I guess I'm wondering how you view that balance, where the new technology in nuclear power is or could be in the next couple of years, and whether or not we might be thinking about that as opposed to retrofitting and investing in the existing infrastructure that we have right now.
Yeah, you bring up a very important point. I'm a firm believer in the so-called all-of-the-above strategy. In other words, I think we need a portfolio or a range of low-carbon technologies that will take us to the objective, which is to decarbonize the power sector. That portfolio should include reasonable retrofits to existing nuclear power plants, big investments in solar, wind, and storage, and, as you correctly mentioned, also investment in new nuclear technologies. The plants that we operate in the U.S. are nominally old. There are certainly old designs, and the technology has not stopped evolving 30, 40 years ago when we built these plants. And so there are new nuclear reactor or nuclear power plant technologies that we should definitely pay attention to, some of which, by the way, have been developed in the U.S. and have a very interesting, for example, safety profile or potential for better economics, not to mention the possibility of generating other energy products, not just electricity, which remains the backbone of our sort of strategy towards decarbonization. So I'm personally not just interested, but professionally, I would say even excited about the prospects of new nuclear technology going forward.
Jacopo Buongiorno is a professor and associate department head at MIT's Nuclear Science and Engineering Department. He's also director of the Center for Advanced Nuclear Energy Systems. He joined us today from Boston. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.